Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is Merloni and Fourier.
JD drives one deep into right field. Tucker is back at the wall. Gone! Grand slam for JD Martinez.
Happy.
Swings and drives one. A grand slam! And it's 8-0.
So we go from blowout.
I don't feel like there's a chance.
To moral victory.
Diggs is going to take it to the end zone.
To, oh my God, they can win it.
It's Bourne to the end zone.
To, oh my God, they blew it. Ladies and gentlemen, your 2021 Patriots.
Any more bad news you got? You missed a wet blanket?
Hey, go Red Sox!
Let's shift to happier thoughts.
How about Kiki Hernandez? That guy's awesome.
The Red Sox have a chance to take a series lead against the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that too. It's Lou.
Yeah.
It's Christian.
A Christian?
Merloni and Fourier are live from the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap on Jersey Street.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's Merloni and Fourier. It is a Patriots Monday coming at you. What do you say, Fourier?
Hello, Lou.
Yeah, we are down here in the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap right across the street from Fenway Park. Come on down and join us. Get you ready for Game 3, Sox Astros series tied up 1-1. And, of course, the football game last night. Mac Jones, he is going to join us at 2:30. We will talk to him, get his thoughts. Patriots now 0-4 at home, sit at 2-4. So we got a lot going on today. We're going to be mixing and matching a little bit. We're going to do some football, obviously, but I got to start with the Sox, obviously, because we're here, and it's game three.
It is kind of a big game.
It is kind of a big game, Fourier, and I'm going to be in the booth. Me, Joe, and
Look
Will.
Look at you.
Getting all excited.
Got
for
promoted.
Three. Game four, very exciting times. E-Rod versus Akiti. And I will say this. When was the last time anybody in this city said that the Red Sox are covering for the New England Patriots?
What do you mean covering for the Patriots? How could that happen? Explain that to me. I don't know what
you're talking
about.
Let's say like May, June, when the Bruins or the Celtics covered for the Red Sox who are struggling. Or let's say September or July when the Red Sox are struggling and they're not playing good baseball in July and August.
Okay.
And camp has started. We say, oh, the Patriots.
Thank God.
Oh, they're their best friends. There's nobody. Because if not, we'd be talking about the Red Sox the whole time. Well, roles have been reversed. And because of the Patriots sitting at 2-4, 0-4 at home, people are talking about the Boston Red Sox. They're getting excited about this series, and you should. We're going to dive into a little bit later in the show what happened over the weekend, but you sit here 1-1, and the Astros' rotation is a mess. Their staff is a mess right now. It still comes down to your bats. You got to respect them. You got to respect Houston. I think at this point they realize they got to score 10 or 12 runs, and you do. You respect them.
Yeah. Just think about that. They have to score 10 or 12 runs. This isn't a football game. This isn't the New England Patriots offense.
I would say
offense.
Eight, maybe 10 seven or eight, nine.
Oh, I can say this. Like I did not feel
teams.
They had two grand slams in this game, and so it's 8-0. And you get another solo home run from Kiki Hernandez, which gives you nine runs. I still didn't feel good about it.
Good?
I didn't feel like it was enough.
They're good.
I didn't, and that's insane. So you had a once in a lifetime opportunity by the Red Sox to get two freaking grand slams in back to back innings. And you still don't feel like that's enough runs to cover your ass.
Well, I would say this. I do think the Astros pitching is a mess right now, and Urquidy's kind of like their last chance to give them something. And he can. He's got good postseason numbers. But it's not like, you know, I feel overly confident about E-Rod out there, you know, or even Hauk, who's given up home runs his last couple, or Pavetta if he goes tomorrow, or Sale, you know what I mean? So it's not like you're locked down money pitching staff. This is still a very good lineup that you need to respect, and it's a big game here across the street here tonight. We'll get more into that a little bit later on as we get actually probably past Mac Jones here. But what do you got?
Yeah, for me, obviously, I'm going to talk about this game because I'm still irritated about this game. They should have won this game. Like everything.
Patriots.
The Patriots should have beat the Dallas Cowboys. Yes. And that's why I think I'm still kind of just frustrated over the way it went down, because usually that's what you do to teams. And I know Devin McCourty. I know we're not going to talk about all the guys in the past. I get it. That, to me, it's irrelevant. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm dealing with this team right here. Like, that's a very talented Dallas offense.
Yeah.
A very, very high-powered, like, big plays. It doesn't matter what down and distance you have. They believe that they can make it up. They have a penalty, a holding call, and now it's second and 20. They'll get 12 yards on the next play, and then they'll end up getting the first down. You gave up 567 total yards of offense, the most by a Bill Belichick coach team. But fine, so what? Didn't matter. You just needed to take advantage of the opportunities that you were given. You did great inside the red zone. You held them four straight plays on the freaking 1 yard line. Four plays in a row against that offense. You didn't let them score. And then you get a fumble. But what happened is, in the end, maybe Bill is right. They made more plays than you did. Because you couldn't stop a third and 25. You couldn't stop a fourth and four. You couldn't complete a slant route to a veteran wide receiver as if he caught the ball, Nelson Aguilar, he'd still be running. He'd still be running. The game would be over, and that would be it. We'd be talking something different. So I don't. There's too many problems for this team to really kind of explain it in a short segment. But do you remember when Trent Dilfer, back in 2014,
wow, was that long
after
ago?
The Patriots lost to the Chiefs, he said this:
"They're not good anymore.
We lost our ever-loving mind."
Well, they won a Super Bowl that year.
Oh, but at the time.
And a couple more after.
At the time, it seemed like it was starting to crumble.
Yeah.
You went on the road, and you just got just killed. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in the game. That is the reality. The good teams make those plays.
Well, how about
the good
this?
Teams make the plays when it matters. Okay, so, hey, great job. Great job, Mac Jones. You did an unbelievable play. After throwing an interception, you throw a touchdown.
Yeah, but couldn't you sit there and say, like, this is, and I've said this before, this is what other fan bases sound like. Because if you're a Cowboy fan, you're sitting there saying, we did absolutely everything to keep that Patriot team in this game. Everything. 12 penalties.
Yeah.
Fumbled twice. A pick in the end zone and a fumble at the one, which you hardly ever see on that play. Usually the quarterback, you know, goes over the ball and he has control, but Bentley knocks it free, whatever. Everything we possibly could, but we know what? Bottom line is we're that much better than that football team that we can overcome it.
And that's the thing. And you can't. And so they're –
because you could say the Patriots should have stole that game. You're frustrated because they lost. And if you're a
Cowboys
fan –
they should have stole that game.
I know, but a Cowboy fan's like, geez, we gave it to you in a platter and you still weren't good enough to take it.
And
everything possible to give you this game, and you still couldn't take
it. So and even before the game started, you knew you were the underdog. You were a legitimate underdog in almost every aspect of that game. Dak Prescott – probably going to be the MVP of the NFL this year. I mean, that's how good that guy is. Your quarterback is decent, but he's young, okay? And you have some ability, but it's frequent and far between. But the fact is that you're when you play against a team that is in, that is so much better than you, and they try to give it away to you, and you don't snatch it and say thank you very much, well, then eventually it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. And that's what happened. So, and that's exactly what happened, because you had an opportunity to win. It's fourth and four. You can't get off the field. Seems just like when they played against Miami, just like when they played against the Saints. You have third and 25. The dude gets 24 yards. Go back and look at that play that CeeDee Lamb caught
when
Jalen Mills, and just to give himself a very makeable field goal, 24 yards. There's nobody anywhere near him, and they're only rushing three. Maybe they haven't sacked Dak Prescott once. He's getting out of every single jam. He's extending plays left and right. The reality is that you really shouldn't be proud of your performance. You shouldn't be talking about a moral victory. You should be putting your head in the sand, and you should not pull it out until the freaking season is over. This is what you're going to get every single. You'll beat the Jets. Hell, at this point, to be honest with you, I don't even know if they'll beat the Jets.
Might be a closer game than you think.
They're going to be banged up.
Yeah.
Okay, the Jets probably have the burden of and the Patriots have the burden of proof now. You're not going to get four picks.
Is there anything to do with like the Jets getting an extra bye week? Do we know what that team looks like at a bye week? Like Saleh after a bye? Ooh, whatever. You know, this is like the first opportunity we'll see. But back to your point, it's like you seemed like frustrated that you lost that game. And the only way you were going to win it is because you stole it.
Yeah.
And almost like
they had to give you the opportunity.
Listen, I think the interception in the end zone, I thought that was a nice play. I don't say that was just like an awful. It was you influenced it. And same thing at the goal line. Like Bentley knocking that ball free, he influenced it. But as you saw, they carried the ball. They had the ball for 40 minutes. You had 26. 567 total yards. You had 335. I think they had 82 plays to your 50-something. I mean, they just sort of dominated you all over the place. 12 penalties, 115 yards from the Cowboys. So I can't get frustrated because they didn't deserve to win. Like, the Cowboys tried to hand it to you, and you still couldn't take it.
Is it a sign?
I'm done with the moral victories.
No, so am
like,
I.
It's almost to the point where I'm so frustrated. It's like the tipping point of the moral victory. Because now, even like after that Saints game, I'm like, just sit back and enjoy it. They're not a playoff team. Look for improvements from Mac. You know, just try to be entertained because I still think they're very interesting. I just don't think they're very good.
You know why they're interesting? Because they're in every single game. They have not been blown out by one team. Okay, they haven't been blown out by one team. So that's why they're in. So moral victories will continue to exist. Because they'll always be at least, you know, in one possession or two possessions within scoring distance.
Right. All right, listen, we're going to get more into the Pats because we got Mac Jones. He's going to join us at 2:30. We're going to do some Sox at the top of the hour. So coming up next, the way this game ended, is Bill Belichick coaching scared? We'll answer that question. It's Maloney and Foray. We're down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap right across from Fenway Park. We'll answer it next.
Back to Maloney and Foray on WEEI.
All right, welcome back to Maloney and Foray down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap right across the street from Fenway Park, getting you ready for Game 3 as well. Again, Mac Jones will join us at the bottom of the hour at 2:30. But Foray, I threw out that question before the break. Is Bill Belichick coaching scared? And I think that obvious answer has to be yes.
I feel like it is. I mean, how would you say it in a different way where it wasn't, like, insulting? You know, like, oh, you're scared, man. Like, what else would you say that?
Doesn't trust his offense. Doesn't trust his young quarterback.
No, exactly. That's exactly what I thought. Like, when the Dallas Cowboys kept going for it on fourth down, the first thing I thought of was, like, well, they don't respect this defense at all. They don't respect you. They're going for it in their very first series, or their very first drive. Okay, they're going to go for it on fourth and one, and they didn't get it, and the Patriots made them pay. But if you have a minute and 30 seconds left in the first half, and you get the ball at, what, the 25-yard line? So they had the ball at the 25-yard line, and you just concede? You just, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't believe we can go, what, 45 yards, 50 yards?
It's been 3 years running for this kind of philosophy.
It was kind of like that with Brady,
Brady's
I feel like, in a way.
Last year, we sat there and said, what is going on?
Why are they going in right now? This is so counterintuitive to what I'm used to.
Right.
And so what's the worst that could happen? So, okay, so you can get sacked, which that happened. You can create a fumble. But they just they remove and just run away from so many opportunities.
See, I look at the end of that first half. Dallas had one timeout left. One. Wasn't like they had three.
No.
You know what I mean? Where, you know, they had one timeout. And sure, they could come down. And yeah, maybe if things don't go well, three incompletions, they come down. Maybe with the timeout, they can kick a field goal. You know, I don't know. And then, okay, so it's 14-13, right? Going into halftime, you trail, but you get the ball back in the second half. That's the worst thing that could probably happen.
Like
they don't have enough time to score a touchdown. That's the worst thing that could probably happen.
Yeah, that wasn't worth the risk for them.
And like, it wasn't.
So in these situations, my thing is, okay, your first play is your most important. If you can get, you know, a nice big chunk play, well then, okay, now we got business. Now you're working the clock. Now you're forcing them to think about their situation. Now they're on their heels. Like, you just didn't even try because you weren't willing to risk an interception or a turnover because you just didn't trust anything. So you just sat on it. And why did you sat on it? Why'd you sit on it? Well, because we were getting the ball in the second half. You're just going to just walk away from a scoring opportunity, like it's not important. That to me, like, that needs the change.
Well, again,
but hold on, real quick. If you're playing the Jets, you're playing the Texans, playing a crappy team.
Yes.
Sure, you be more careful with your points and your opportunities and your possessions. Not against this team.
But again, it goes back to, like, you know, talking about this team and, like, oh, Bill Belichick loves to double dip, right? Score at the end of the half, come out
the middle
of the
second
half and score. He loves to do it. Well, it's been 3 years since we've seen this. 3 years since he's pushed the envelope. Like, even with Brady, a minute and a half to 25, he might do the same thing. Damien Harris for a run and get the hell out of here. Let's go to halftime and regroup. They did it. It's been 3 years, so I don't know if you can even say it anymore. Yeah, he'd like to, but he doesn't trust his offense for the last 3 years to be able to do something like that. So, to me, I didn't like that one, but the one in overtime, I absolutely hate it. Like, the one in overtime, it's like Dallas had, I think, five straight drives in a row.
Yeah.
And they missed one field goal. Okay?
And that's the only reason why they didn't score.
That's the only
reason. You weren't stopping them,
so you're,
period.
It's fourth and three, and he's talking about, well, you know, if we don't get it, we're already in Zuerlein's, you know, range, and he's going to kick the field goal. To me, you needed to treat this Dallas offense like you treated Peyton Manning years ago. Like, you weren't getting the ball back. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you punt, you are not stopping them. Five straight times they went down the field, and a missed field goal is the only reason why they didn't score. So it was like, I don't know, fourth and three. You can go back to the third and three play to Aguilar out the right there, right? Throwing it outside
the back shoulder.
The back shoulder. I don't know. Aguilar, we can get into him later on. I don't know if he just didn't read that, because I feel like if he stopped, you know, at the first down marker and just, you know, went to that sidelines, maybe 8 yards downfield, it would have been a completion. He didn't. But fourth and three?
There's so
you don't
many.
Go for it in overtime, there's get the ball back.
There's so many. When I went back and I looked at the
field.
Film, I was like, "You've got to be kidding!" There are so many issues with this team. So many, and they just get worse. They don't get better. I would say they talk about error repeaters. They have a team filled with them, and like at some point in time, you kind of have to say, "Okay, I'm telling them what to do," and I've done it my whole career. Okay, and they're not listening to me. So either I'm terrible at getting my point across, or they're just stupid and defiant. That's one aspect. The other aspect, as far as when it comes to being scared, okay, you really just have to, you know, retrace your steps. If I'm scared, why am I scared? Well, because I almost got my quarterback killed. Okay. One, I got a punt blocked. Two, and my defense has been saving my ass, has been constantly bailing me out.
In the red zone.
But still, you overcame a punt. You overcame a sack fumble twice in the same quarter. So I can understand his unwillingness to take extra chances based on what had just happened. It's almost like he was scared straight in a way. But against Dallas, you can't confirm that you're going to get the ball back. And if you don't at least try it, you'll never win. His philosophy, I mean, not like riverboat gambler David Culley like last week, but he definitely needs to be more aggressive.
Yeah, I just don't think he has got the team and maybe, you know, the quarterback, you know, still, you know, like he had back in the day where, you know, I'm just going to sit back. And another team will, you know, the big play will come defensively, or my quarterback will make this great play. Like, if we just don't try to lose it, they'll do something stupid. If we punt, they'll throw a pick, they'll fumble because we're just the Patriots. You know what I mean? It's like years past, it was let other teams sort of blow it, you know, and then we'll take advantage.
Yeah.
I think he's got to coach more. You got to take some chances with this team. Like, you got to take some risks. Like, if he went for it on fourth and three and they didn't get it, and Dallas got one first down, a couple first downs, kicked the field goal, and lost. We would have sat there and said, "Oh, of course, you were the underdog with Dallas. You took a shot to go for it. It happens. You'd almost rather lose that way than punting that ball off and watching Dallas go right down the field because your defense has been on the field the entire freaking game."
See, you made an excellent point. They had scored on their last five possessions. You now have history to back your decisions.
It's like Manning.
You have
fourth and three.
I know people keep saying, "Oh, it is exactly like Manning." Like, why did you do that? Well, dude, it's Peyton Manning. Like, he's going to get the ball and drive it right down our throats. We can't stop him. And then I would also say this: your defense was banged up. They were hurt. Guys were coming on and off the field like crazy. They kept completing everything, and not little dinking and dunking. They overcame every last penalty that they had. So you'd have to just, I don't know, gut check time.
Yeah.
We got to get this, guys, because you're going to lose it no matter what.
You can't sit back with this team.
No. Another team, you'll war of attrition. You'll end up winning. Not this team. Too explosive.
Not this team. Too explosive is right. All right, listen, we see you guys lined up. We're going to talk to Mac Jones next. Top of the hour, we'll do some socks. We'll have some time after Mac gets some calls. But coming up next, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Mac Jones.
The hottest show in radio.
We're talking rain, force, sweaty.
It's Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
All
All right, welcome back to Maloney and Fourier. It is a Patriots Monday here at 2:30, so it's time to talk to the quarterback. And our interview with Mac Jones is brought to you by Mass General Cancer Center, every day amazing, and by Northeast Men's Health, the expert in men's sexual health at northeastmenshealth.com. Mac, how you doing? Lou and Christian here.
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good, good.
We're doing good. Listen, another tough loss at home, but do you feel like offensively it's kind of, you guys are getting close to finishing these games?
Yeah, I think when you watch the film and just look at it, it just comes down to doing the hard things right, and it's two or three plays that we just need to, whether it's me or whoever, I think we just need to kind of flip the switch and realize that we're close, but close is never good enough, but at the same time, we can't be distracted by results. We just have to focus on the process and what's worked for us, and I think we're starting to make strides, and it's tough because you lose, but at the same time, you just got to focus on what we can do better. So,
Mac, just because we all want to do a health check on you, that hit that you took, have you ever been hit that hard before, like in your career?
Yeah, I have. I just turned around and looked at my reads, and he had a jump on the snap count, and it kind of just was unfortunate because it almost like he timed up my cadence. So I think that's something that I can address and work on, and just so we have a little bit of a change up. And he was there, and I wish I held onto the ball. And it's just one of those bang bang plays, and those happen all the time. And I think our offensive line did a good job protecting me. It wasn't maybe that one play one time when the guy just made a good play.
Mac, is it there's an obvious physical toll that players go through, but for first year players there's a mental fatigue I think that takes place. Just, the length of the season, the demands on during the day. And for a guy like you that's been used to winning, like everywhere he's been, it's the losing. Like, is that kind of getting to you? Just, preparing, putting everything into it, and then not getting the W?
Yeah, I think just any competitor in any sport, the goal is to win. But a lot of competitors, they just love the process of trying to get the win, whether that's throughout the week or in the off season. And the best competitors in the world, like the Michael Jordans, et cetera, they just love the process of working out and studying and preparing. And and I don't think they ever really think about the wins until they win and they realize, it's worked. And when they lose, they just continue to do what they've done to put themselves in a good position to win. So I think it's more about the process and figuring out what works for me, works for our team. We don't want to look back, but I think the games we've lost, they're just super close, one play here or there, and our record would say something completely different. But it's just the National Football League, and the margin for error is so slim that you just have to be on your A game. I'm young, and I'm starting to realize that, so the sense of urgency just needs to improve by me, and whatever way I can help the team just improve in that area.
All right, we're talking to Mac Jones, who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Mac, take me through that Bourne 75-yard touchdown. Did you guys feel like you kind of had Trayvon Diggs set up for that double move?
Yeah, I think we just called that play, and we needed a big play. And KB ran a good route, and I had plenty of time with the offensive line to make a good throw and stuff. And he made the play. And I think, the other important thing was we finished that drive, the two-point, and we just had to keep playing. And sometimes things don't go your way, but at least we put ourselves in a position to play well and put ourselves in the lead. And that's all you can ask yourself to do is just focus on my reads and get the ball to the playmakers and let them do what they do.
How about in that the pick six? It looked like you wanted to get rid of the ball quick, and maybe did you not have a grip on it? It looks like you just wanted to get rid of it quick.
I definitely could have made a better throw, but it was the exact look we wanted. So I don't know. I just need to calm my feet down and step into my throw and deliver a good throw and allow the guys to run with the ball. So just some of my shorter throws were just a little off, and I'll definitely make that a point of emphasis this week. My drops and stuff have been better on the deep stuff, but I need to improve on the short, quick game stuff. So something I can work on and focus on and go back to what I've been taught and trust my training and just step into the throw and make it.
So I saw right after that, I think everybody saw kind of Bill go over there and talk to you a little bit. What was that message?
I think just keep playing and head up. And I mean, you know, it's part of the game. Mm-hmm. Of course, you don't want to throw a pick six, but, you know, you got to bounce back. And of course, I was pissed at first, but I kind of just cleaned my brain, just hit the reset button. And that's what I always do. And I've worked really hard at that. And everyone on our team had my back. So that's important. They're excited to get back out there and try and get a game-winning drive and stuff. So,
yeah, so just back to that last play and we'll let it go. But how important was it for you to, after that play, after Trayvon Diggs runs it back for a touchdown, the game completely seems to, you know, the momentum's totally switched, is changed, and Josh calls a pass play towards the same guy that just picked it off. Like, yeah. Was there any apprehensions of any anxiety with you at all with that, or how were you feeling?
Yeah, I felt good. We had called that, and throughout the week we worked it, and it just happened to hit the right way, and I actually could have held the safety a little more, but it was fine. And KB made a good play, like I said, and we had plenty of time, and it was just a perfect call at the time for what we were looking for. And I try not to, you know, focus on the play that just happened. So if the guy was open and he slipped him, then I'm going to throw him the ball regardless of who's covering him. And Trayvon's a great player, and he made the play on the play before, and then we got him on the next ones.
So there was a certain time in the game where Josh or somebody called timeout, and he seemed really frustrated. I think you mouthed something like, "I got it." Was that because they didn't think you knew what was going on, and you wanted to make sure they knew that you understood what needed to happen? What was that sequence like?
Yeah, I just had a little alarm go off in my head that, you know, I didn't like what I was seeing. So Josh just always tells me, you know, it's not a big deal to take a timeout, and just went over there and talked it out with him, and then went back out there and played the next play. But I think that's something that, you know, maybe in college, you don't have the authority to do that all the time, just call a timeout. But if we have them, you know, maybe not in the second half, but in the first half, just take them, especially when we're in the second quarter. And if it's not the look you want, then just take the timeout and talk it through. And you shouldn't feel bad about it. You know that feeling. I don't know how it applies to y'all, but when you just feel like something's not right, you just want to call the timeout and just gather yourself and figure everything out.
So, Mac, take me through that in overtime, that 3rd and 3, I believe it was a back shoulder maybe to Aguilar. Do you have, you know, 4th and 3, are you at the point where you can sit there and say, no, let's go for this? Is there any discussion at all? Like, did you want to go for it?
I always leave that, and the offense just leaves it up to the coaches. I mean, if they put us out there, we, of course, we're going to do our best to convert. But I think at that point in the game, obviously, coach has had tons of experience, and he's been in that situation probably thousands of times. And we could have converted that, and then no one would even be talking about it. And I definitely could have done a better job with that. I mean, there was other guys open, and I could have just made a better throw, and a lot of things could happen. But that just goes back to doing the tough things right, and just every play, you got to hold yourself accountable.
What is the entry into Mac Jones's improvement diary this week?
Yeah, I think just improving my feet and my communication with the offensive line, just making sure we're on the same play, same page, rather. You know, I think my feet were a little out of whack, and I can definitely improve that, and I will with drills and all that stuff. And every week there's things I do to improve on that. And in terms of communication, just talking with the offensive line and making sure that we're on the same page. And I think we did a good job of that, but that's something that needs to improve every week. And I think we'll do that in practice. And they've done a good job all year protecting me, and we're getting better and better. So I think once we really have that full game, the results will come, like I said, and we just got to keep working.
You know, Mac, real quick, earlier when you were talking about that hit from Gregory, you said that, you know, you've been hit like that before. Do you remember the hardest hit? Do you remember who hit you the hardest?
Yeah.
Who was it?
I can't remember specifics, but I think getting hit's always fun because, you know, it makes it more fun. That's part of the game. And
fun. You're kind of nuts. That didn't look like fun, Mac.
No, hell no.
The best part is getting back up and you know, being knowing that you're fine and you can just go out there and keep playing. And sometimes you don't get hit all the time in practice, obviously. So it's okay to get hit a little bit and pop back up. And it kind of just adds a little bit of competitive juices to the whole situation. So at the end of the day, it's part of the game, like I said. And the best quarterbacks in the world, they all pop up quick and play the next play. So.
Damn. Well, Mac Jones, the toughest SOB I think we've seen here in a long time. All right, so it's time for the quarterback question of the week, Mac, which is sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health with locations in Dedham near Legacy Place and in Salem, New Hampshire, or online at northeastmenshealth.com. Okay, so last week I asked you if we were going to remake the movie Step Brothers, and you could pick one person on your team to be your stepbrother in the movie, who would it be? You said you needed a week to think about it, so who's your answer?
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know why I didn't even say this last week, but probably Damien, just because, you know, we're really close and we go back all the way, and he's just like a big brother to me, so he'll, you know, we're funny together, and, you know, we have those moments where we're like stepbrothers. You know, maybe a little argument here or there or whatever, but you know, it's just me and Damien, that's how we are, and he's a great friend, and I think we would make a great movie, so maybe one day.
All right, well, there you go.
All right, Mac, listen, thanks for joining us, and good luck. Another home game against the Jets next week, so good luck.
Looking forward to it. All right, see you guys.
All right, that's Mac Jones. Our conversation with the quarterback is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. And time now for our this week's powerful play brought to you by Enel. On first and 10 from the Patriots 25, Mac Jones hit Kendrick Bourne for a 75-yard touchdown pass to give the Patriots the lead late in the fourth quarter. Enel, the official energy partner of Gillette Stadium. All right, so you talk to this guy. He talks about how it's fun getting hit.
And what is wrong with him?
Kajust? Because the Andy Hart's messing with me right now.
Yeah.
He's pronouncing it something else. I don't care. The guy.
It's Kajust when you don't like him. It's Kajust when he does something well.
It was Kajust on that play then. Because, yeah, he almost got him concussed is what he almost got him, right?
Listen, I've seen a lot. Like, we've seen a lot of hits. I'm surprised he didn't get the wind knocked out of him.
Well, he looked rattled.
No, but he did because it's almost trauma related. It's like a collision, something like you would have in a car crash. He didn't see him coming at all. I mean, he's sitting there talking about he wishes he could have held on to the football. I think we all understand why you kind of coughed it up, and I won't even say he coughed it up. I mean, he was patting and getting ready to get rid of it, and the guy just killed him. Terrible job by Kajust. Great job by Gregory. And still, they weren't really penalized by that play. As bad as it was, they overcame it. The Patriots defense bailed the offense out. They bailed out the punt team. Like, the defense was doing their job. But with him, I don't think he's going to make it. I mean, I'm saying it with much love and respect. Because physically, I want to get into like the whole physical aspect of the game and how that wears you down. But in college, think about it. You go from, let's say for him, his spring ball going into his senior year, his last year with Alabama, a summer ball the entire season. Then he goes into the national championship, wins the national championship, goes straight to the draft, trains for the draft, gets drafted, comes directly to the Patriots. And then so that's just a long period of time with no breaks. Then the mental aspect of just losing. Like, the dude has never lost this much in his life. And he hasn't won a game at home. He's lost four games. To me, I'm curious to know just how he's going to handle it. Like, I mean, at some point, I mean, do you just – how many times can you tell yourself just to forget about it and think about the next play? And how many times can you say you don't mind getting hit? Sorry for his off? Is he trying to make it easier on his offense? Like, hey, Kajust, hey, man, don't care. Don't worry about it, man. I love getting hit.
So does he go
it's awesome. Yeah. Hey, someone take shots at me.
Hey, Mac, you okay? Like, yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, will somebody please whiff so I can get hit?
That was my fault.
Yeah.
I should have got rid of
terrible.
The
yeah, I held onto the ball too long. What's wrong with him?
Almost 2 seconds.
Can you imagine if this is Jay Cutler? He is dog cussing these guys like crazy.
God.
Any other older quarterback? Like, they are dog cussing this offensive line like crazy.
All right, listen, let's get to some of your calls here before the break. On Bill Belichick, on this conservative play call, is he calling these games scared with this team because he really can't afford to? Let's go to Jeff in Miami. Jeff, go ahead, pal. You're on with Christian and Lou.
Hey, guys. I mean, Belichick is coaching this team on offense, I guess him and McDaniels. like they have the 85 Bears defense playing behind them. So I got to agree. You know, I agree with you, you know, when you're talking about the play calling. But, Christian, I have to disagree with you on the defense a little bit, with the defense doing their jobs.
Go ahead.
We got a ton of good flags yesterday. I mean, if we don't get, you know, a couple of those, I mean, this game could have been a blowout. I think McCourty should be paid for selling Patricia's umbrellas in the parking lot. I mean, you don't even see that guy. I mean, you know, you don't even see him on the screen. He might have been in two plays all day the way they have him play. And Jamie Collins, did he play? I mean, he was on the field, but you didn't hear his name called one time yesterday. So they were playing like 11 on 9. I mean, it's I just don't understand the play calling on offense when you have a defense. This is beyond bend, don't break. Look at the yards they gave up yesterday, the yards they gave up to Davis Mills. Look at the yards that they gave up.
I would say, Jeff, that was expected. That was expected. I did not think that the Patriots defense was going to come in here and completely slow them down.
No.
I did not think that whatsoever. I was hoping that the Cowboys would do just what they did, have a bunch of turnovers, bunch of penalties that delayed or just made it harder on them.
I felt like the Cowboys, to a point, did what we were saying. You know, they came in here kind of a little bit arrogant, a little bit cocky. Right in the first possession, boom, go for it on fourth down. You don't get it. The Patriots go up 7-0. Then they come down and make it 7-0. They sort of felt good about themselves again until the Patriots came down. Then there was a turnover in the red zone, maybe sloppy play in the red zone, you know, in that first pick, maybe a bad decision by Mack. And then, you know, then first and goal from the one, you know, that they don't punch it in, and then he fumbles it again. I almost felt like they were kind of cocky and almost sitting there saying, okay, we're making a bunch of mistakes, but we can make up for it. Don't worry about it. We're much better than this team. So you kind of had them right where you wanted. And I just think there's a point where you're saying, okay, this game is here for the taking. We, to be honest with you, we have no right being in overtime.
We
really have no right being in overtime. But here we are, and we got 4th and 3 on the 46. Like, let's try to end this thing. Let's not give them the ball. Let's get the first down. Let's try to drive down and score a touchdown and get our asses out of here with a W. Like, you know what I mean? And instead it was like, God, it was there for you, and you just sort of let them have it back.
Well, the other thing is that when you think about it, like how many different opportunities the Dallas Cowboys had and the Patriots end. Like over 30 different opportunities, over 30, like 34, 35, something crazy, to like the Patriots like 8 or something like that. It was like significantly lower. The amount of stress that is put on that defense to continually get off the field after they get – and then you know that they're going for it on fourth down. Like, I was just looking at some of the plays, and Bill talked about this a little bit this morning on Greg's show, how they did a terrible job containing Dak Prescott. And then when he did get outside, he completed almost every single pass. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for, like, 3 yards. It was, like, for 15 yards. Right. So when you look at it, it's like
huge
second,
chunk plays
second
all day.
And 15, they get 14. Okay, it's first and 20, then they end up getting, like, 21 yards. Third and 14, they get 13, then they go for it. First and 20, they get 21. Second and 11, they get 13. Second and 10, they get 11. The Patriots were doing a good job on first down for the most part. Okay, but what they eventually, the explosive plays were just too much for them to handle. So, okay, fine, you get a fresh set of downs, and then you start all over again. And then here they go again. They just keep marching down, marching down, marching down. The key was to somehow bring the fight to the end zone and then fight them inside a telephone booth. Okay, therefore limiting some of their skill. And then Bill talked about it. What happens in the red zone? You got to throw it horizontally. You can't throw it vertically. And they kept throwing it vertically, and they tried to. They were throwing it out of the end zone. The only vertical pass that they caught was the touchdown to CeeDee Lamb and to the end zone. Otherwise, it was all horizontal plays or checkdowns that they ran with after the catch. So every single opportunity was there, okay, but you just couldn't capitalize on it. So it is as simple as they made more plays in this than we did. And they did.
They're capable of making more plays.
And they are capable. You dropped the ball.
Yes.
You threw it out of bounds. You lined up offside.
Yes.
Procedural penalty. Like, I mean, what the hell?
It was right there for you. It was right there for you. And I don't think anybody would have sat there in overtime, 4th and 3, if you went for it and didn't get it. And they went 10 yards to kick the field goal. I don't think anybody would have. Everybody would have agreed. It was the right call. Everybody would have agreed. Let's go to Kelly in Amherst. Kelly, go ahead. You're on with Christian and Lou.
I think the best move of that whole game was when they got the coin toss in overtime. I think
that was
really key. You know, if they could have just actually scored a little bit there, that would have been great. But no, for real, I got to say, man, that was the most exciting Patriots game I've seen in a pretty long time. I know that it was really cool back when we used to win Super Bowls all the time, but it was like, if they don't win the Super Bowl, oh, my God, kill myself. If they do win the Super Bowl, okay, that's fine. Nowadays, it's like, it's really exciting. I really like it. Mm-hmm. I got to say, Dak Prescott impressed me. I did not know he was that good. Shout out to House from Dorchester for the Kendrick Bourne call. He said he was going to do something in that game, and he definitely did. But I got to say right now, man, Mac is my guy. I don't miss Jimmy G anymore. I love Mac.
Okay. So, thanks for the call. So interesting, because I did think the best thing that happened to them is in overtime is that they won the toss. They won the toss.
Yeah.
So they, because if they scored a touchdown,
we'll give a shot.
Well, yeah, because if they scored a touchdown, the game's over. Doesn't matter. If they keep the field goal, then you get the ball back.
Right.
But touchdown kills it right then and there.
Right.
So you had the opportunity to actually do some damage first. You had what Nelson Aguilar dropping an unbelievable.
How far would he have run?
He'd still be running. He'd be right here with us.
He would have caught that ball. Had one safety to beat. One move, go to the sidelines, outrun him.
You got Aguilar.
That could have been the game right there.
He was responsible for the two plays in overtime. He was responsible, I guess, or attached to two plays that killed those drives. The first play was the drop, okay, that Jacoby Myers ends up bailing his ass out because he makes an unbelievable catch to give him a fresh set of downs. They run it twice. They don't get much yards, and then they got to throw it. Mac tries to hit him on a back shoulder, and he doesn't stop. He keeps running. He mistimes it.
He just kept
running. That's a him thing.
No, and three targets, one catch in this game for 27 yards, okay, but to your point, that one in overtime, that could have ended the game. He might have taken that
easily.
To the house.
You're getting at least 3 points.
And then in overtime, the back shoulder, like there's something miscommunication because he sort of just kept going or turned around late. And I felt like if he had stopped a yard or two short and they were on the same page and he just sort of turned, it's right there. And you're talking first down. So that's the overtime. The slant that was missed and the third and three that was miscommunicated. Oh, whatever. He didn't react the right way. No, it's atrocious. I mean, this is like your guy. I'd be looking more for Jacoby Myers, wouldn't you? And get Kendrick Bourne more involved. He didn't have one target or two targets all game long. I mean, they didn't really throw the ball down that much to Jacoby Myers. But
a lot was being said.
Yeah, two targets to Bourne.
Of how many plays they had in like the first half. But they were dealing with short fields and they scored quick. So they got 14 points quick. Then they get a turnover. Then they march down, and they were doing a great job. And then he gets sacked. No, actually, no. Jacoby Myers gets a touchdown. You're thinking it's going to be 21-7. Holding call, bring it back. And then what happened on the very next play? There goes a sack for a fumble.
Gregory.
So yeah. I mean, and then after that, you can chart it. They didn't get a first down until like the fourth quarter. They were 0-5. The very first third down that they converted was in the fourth quarter. They went three and out, bad play. They started the second half, first series, on another sack by Isaiah Wynn, who got his ass kicked. Like, talk about issues.
He just got pushed.
Both tackles are a disaster.
No, it's a
mess. Disaster.
It's an absolute mess.
You can't find a tackle. You can't find one. So no wonder they run it up the middle. That's where all their success is.
Right.
They can't run it to the outside.
No, they can't. The tackle's been awful. All right, listen, this hour, Maloney and Fourier, brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. All right, listen, we are down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap down here on Jersey Street, right across from Fenway Park, getting you ready for Game 3. Now, the Red Sox did exactly what you wanted. They went down to Houston. They split down there to bring it back here. We're going to do some Sox next. Take a look back at the weekend and also get you ready for this game as well. Come on down here. Get ready for this one. We're down here. The doors are open. Let's talk Sox here. Game 3. We do it next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.